Scott Browning and his lovely assistant are passing out to you a little token of appreciation for being here today. Everybody's going to get money just for coming to church today. Wow. That's good. That's good. You're getting, you know, getting some little bit of money, you know, for coming to church today. But for most of you in this room that are under 30, I may leave you out here for just a minute, but just hang on because I'm going to get you opportunity to catch up. But for those under 30, don't feel so left out, but I'm going to talk just a little bit this morning about the fact that this year, coming up in just a few days, is the 25th anniversary of Y2K. How many in the room remembers Y2K? Mm-hmm, yeah. If you're under 30, I don't expect you to raise your hand, you know. But Y2K, 25 years ago, isn't it almost unreal to think about the whole COVID thing that, you know, we're talking 4 or 5 years now since it passed. Isn't that unreal? But Y2K, the 25th anniversary of the new millennium. Okay? The new millennium, known as Y2K, to those of us from back in that day, the year of 1999. Who in this room was born after 1999? Raise your hand. Jerry, you're lying. So there's a few in the room born after 1999. We love and appreciate you, but you missed all this great fun. It was a year, 1999 was a year of great anxiety. Tremendous stress. The tension was so thick, especially in the last half of 1999, that you could have cut it with that proverbial knife. Would all the computers of the world crash? Was the question. When the 00 date rolled into their frame. Some of the tense areas in 1999 were commerce and trade would cease as bank and monetary systems would collapse at midnight as soon as 00 rolled up on those computers. Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. Transportation, ground, air, sea, all would stall or cease operations because their navigational systems and all of those things that are computer controlled would collapse. Seemingly the world was coming to an end. Medical care would be interrupted. Nations of the world would become vulnerable and the opportunity of governments to lose control of their also dangerous nuclear weapons was looming at midnight. January 1st, 2000. It was Y2K. The looming fear of the world going dark was ever present due to the potential of electrical grids failing. There were fears of apocalypse by believers and non-believers alike. It was an excellent time for all of those nut hatches that predict when Jesus is coming. It was an excellent opportunity for them to claim that He was coming on that day. They forecasted, many did, the return of Christ. And I say nut hatches with all due respect. I was pastoring my first church back then in 1999, and it was a small church located in the mountains of Grayson County, Virginia. Some of y'all been to Elk Creek to the dragway? Well, we could hear the cars running on, you know, Saturday night tune and test if we had church for some reason. Elk Creek, Virginia, Grayson County, December 31st, 1999. It fell on a Friday night. And I planned, as pastor, I planned what we used to call watch night services. I got a lot of hand raising this morning, but any of y'all ever been to a watch night service? Y'all, some of y'all know what I'm talking about half a dozen of you. Watch night service. You stay up on New Year's Eve night and you worship the Lord. into the new year. You're worshiping the Lord as the new year comes in. Now, what better thing to do than have a watch night service on the night of Y2K? Woo-hoo! We were going to be in church. If that apocalypse occurred, bless God, we was going to be at church, you know. Yeah. Then typically our congregation, it was a small church, typically our congregation would be around 35 or 40 people. But not on this night. Despite that we could only seat about 75 people maximum as a little storefront church, we had over 125 people on December 31st, 1999. Watch night service leading up to Y2K. Every folding chair we had was out. Every pew was filled. We had red back hymnals, green back hymnals, and blue back hymnals, and any kind of else that you could think of, books stacked up along the wall and people sitting on stacks of books. There was people that stood in the back of the church that could not find seats. What a crowd we had at Elk Creek Christian Fellowship on December 31st, 1999. It was Y2K. There were people from all walks of life there that night. Everything from saints to prostitutes, literally, to drug addicts and so forth. It blew my mind. Wow, look at that. Every preacher likes it when they got a room full. Let me tell you, if preacher says he don't like a room full, he's lying, okay? The room was full, man. It was packed. We knew we had all of these unsaved people. We sang songs. We had guest preaching. We sang more songs. We had testimony. And we sang more songs. And then we break and had snacks. And then we had some more songs. That's what you do in watch night service. But at 11:55 on December 31st, 1999, we stopped everything. And we had a call to prayer. We were going to be praying as Y2K come in. We were going to pray in the new year. The fear, the anxiety was still there. The stress, people worrying about. I even heard people comment, well, I hope you filled up with gas because you may not have any gas stations even open to get home. Now that was the kind of thoughts and anxieties that were present on that particular night. The clock approached midnight, December 31st, 1999. It's getting ready to drop over into January 1st, 2020. Y2K is about to happen. I surveyed the room. Now, I know you're not supposed to pray with your eyes open, but at least that's what they say, but sometimes you need to, especially if you're driving. I witnessed nearly everyone, without exaggeration, nearly every one of those 125 plus people as being in prayer. There was mamas even holding their kids' head down in prayer. Bless, get your head down, boy. You're going to pray. You know, we're going to be praying. It was in that moment that the thought entered my mind that I should make my way to the back of the church and flip the main breaker. Had that room went completely dark, I believe there would have been the greatest revival to break out that you have ever seen in Grayson County. I operate sometimes in the gift of mischievousness, by the way, you know. I did not do that, though, as tempting as it was. But you know what? Midnight struck. January 1st, 2020 occurred. The lights stayed on. The financial systems didn't collapse. The trains didn't derail. The airplanes didn't crash. No nuclear bombs were unleashed. And the apocalypse didn't occur. And Jesus didn't come back. And now here we are 25 years later. Several of you have already identified in this room that you weren't even born 25 years ago. But whether you were or whether you were not, the one thing that we all can identify with this morning is the reality of time is continuing to roll on. The calendar is about to turn another leaf. The clocks, the hands on the clock, the digits on your phone are clicking away. You can watch them. You can observe them, and life is just clicking away 1 minute at a time. 1 moment at a time. Life is continuing on. I want to read to you what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15, and I drew this from the New American Standard Bible. Paul writes, "So then be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time." And I underlined that on purpose. "Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." My, if that was applicable in Paul's day, how much more is that to be applied to today? I want to preach to you, and you were given, hopefully everybody got one. We gave you a little business card, and it has a sum of money, which is a penny, attached to it. And you see there on that slogan, "Life is like a penny." You can spend it however you want, but you only get to spend it once. You see, as we think about time and the continuation of time, I want you to consider some of the things that God says about time. He establishes that each person is given a period of time in this life. None of us can explain why some live longer than others or vice versa. None of us really know any answers to that. Sometimes we can pretend to and try to explain why that some people leave this life very early in life with very few years behind them. But the Bible teaches us that our life lasts as long as the steam that comes out of a kettle. James chapter 4. Our life is like a vapor. It appears just for a little while, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. Well, you know, we can look at that and we can think about, well, he's talking about a very short life. But even to live our lives to be well up in years, to be well up in age, we can turn around. How often do I find myself, and Sarah, do we find ourselves saying, now that this point in time in your life, and I know this is going to startle some of you, but I'm 63. I know some of you are thinking 40. But where did the last 50 go? And those of you that are younger and think that all that sounds foolish, well, if the Lord tarries his coming and the Lord blesses you with days, your day is coming. That you'll feel the same way. The reality of it is no matter how long we live, this life is still a vapor at the most. That signifies it to me in Scripture. I think the Lord is signifying to us that no matter how long that time exists for any of us, it's brief in comparison to eternity. There is nothing permanent about this life. Nothing. In Psalms 90, Moses said, and by the way, I encourage you on your own time, maybe later this afternoon, read the whole 90th Psalms. But in Psalms 90, Moses says, "People are like grass that spring up early in the morning. It blooms, it flourishes, but by the evening, it is dry and it's withered." That's life. You see, time actually exists for our benefit. God transcends time. He was there before time ever existed because God is eternal. He is eternity. God transcends time. He created time. In Psalms 123, we find that, in fact, that it says there that God never sleeps and He never slumbers. He doesn't need a vacation like we need it. He doesn't need to take a power nap somewhere in the afternoon like John does probably ever. Few hours. You see, God doesn't deal with the human factors. He understands our humanity, but yet He doesn't struggle with time and those things like we struggle with them because He is God and He is eternal. But time actually is a temporary circumstance. For I read at the back of the book and it says, there is a day coming when God will step one foot on land and then one foot on sea, and He will declare that time will be no more. You see, time merely exists for you and I. It's one of the benefits of life that God gives us, I guess you could say. And only He knows that what our number of days is, but time is the dimension of life that and our entire life is time based, but it's never to be considered permanent. Time is established universally. Universally, time is measured in 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours per day, 365 days a year, unless, of course, it's a leap year. God created this gift for our benefit alone. Here's the question that I have for you this morning, though. How are we handling our gift? Are we being good stewards of what God has given us? Is the question. We think about stewardship over finances, and we think about stewardship in several ways, but this morning we're focusing on time. And I'm focusing on making our time count. We're hopefully aware by now that this life is just a temporary circumstance, and only God knows the number of days that we have. James, in his going back to the gospel or to the epistle of James, James 4 tells us that we shouldn't even be worrying about what are we going to do today or what are we going to do tomorrow, because we don't really even know what tomorrow holds. But sometimes we get caught up in the reality of it is, many of us, we are living our lives to live. But we're not living our lives to die or to face eternity. We are living our lives like we're going to live on forever and ever and ever and ever. Sarah and I, we've been talking the last year or two. We've been talking more about our retirement years. We're planning on retiring at 85. But we hear so much of that, and we talk so much of that, and many times you look at our lives and we live like we are planning to live forever. I'm not suggesting that we should be intentionally be unhealthy, but have any of y'all noticed the pop-ups coming up on your phone since Christmas? All the ways you can get healthy? Let me tell you what, I'm looking at the carnivore diet. Now, see, the carnivore diet is almost like the vegan diet. Because see, cows eat grass and I can eat cows. So it's almost like a semi-vegan diet. That's what I'm looking at, you know. I already put in my numbers and it says I can lose 25 pounds in 36 days if I will do this, 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 and this. But it means no more pumpkin pie and whipped cream. Yeah, but the reality, being healthy is good, saving money is good, but the truth is that we are not going to be here forever. So God has given us time. Solomon says in his wisdom, don't say to your neighbor, come back today or tomorrow, when you can help him today. In Proverbs 3. You know, I read, some of y'all will remember years ago, they used to have those little stands all over Gatlinburg, and the guy had a router and he would make all those little signs. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all older people like me? They may still do it. I don't know. I hardly ever go to Gatlinburg. But the reality, I saw this sign and it said, it says, the greatest of intentions will never accomplish what the smallest of deeds will. You know, we all have great intentions about, well, I'm going to serve the Lord better this year. I'm going to do more for Jesus this year. I'm going to be, and you know, y'all are killing me in life groups this morning because you're interfering here with my message, okay? You understand that now. And we're going to do all this and do all that. I'm going to be a better neighbor next year. I'm going to witness more for Jesus next year. But we, listen. The smallest of deeds will exceed our intentions. Intentions are not suffice in the way that we spend our time for the Lord. I intended to do a lot of things this year, and I still don't have them done. Not for just for Jesus, but for my wife and for myself. And I still don't have them done. But we be aware that our life is timid. Have you ever noticed that time flies? You know? My sister one time had a rubber alarm clock. Y'all ever seen one? It was a wind-up one. It wasn't electric. It was a rubber alarm clock. And it was designed, I remember when she had it, and this is a long time ago, it was blue and had two little yellow, rubber yellow bells on it. But anyway, it was rubber, so it was really safe, and it was made so you could watch time fly. It was made so you could pick it up and throw it. You could watch time fly. Some of y'all get that later on. Except the blonde people. You may not get that. Time flies. Remember the anticipation of Christmas when you were a child? Or do you remember when you turned 15 and you were just waiting to get that learner's permit? Or to get your full-fledged driver's permit? I didn't struggle with that too much because I was driving at 14. Some of y'all get that a little bit later too. Sometimes when we're young, we just think that time is dragging by. But as we get older, we recognize time flies. Moses said time is carried away as a flood in Psalms 90. Time is moving quickly before us. I thought about, when I read that scripture, I thought about the aftermath here of late. I've been looking at all of these videos and photos of the flooding of Western North Carolina and all of the aftermath of the flood. And I was watching some guy who was interviewed. He said, I've lived in Florida all of my life and I just moved to Western North Carolina to Asheville about a year ago. He said, and I've never seen a hurricane leave the devastation that Helene left here in Western North Carolina. And I was watching all that. But you know one thing I noticed? I read that scripture and I was watching some of these videos shortly thereafter. And one thing I noticed, all of the flood waters were gone. But the damage remains. You see, and I thought about that in respect to life. How that sometimes we must realize that when Moses said that our lives, it's like that flood. It's like the flood waters. It's like the waters. The waters rise and then they go away. And then all that remains is the residue. You know, that's a great description of how life is. What we must do, we must do quickly. And life is like that penny. You can spend it any way you want to, but you only get to spend it one time. I did just a little research for what it's worth. And I'm thinking about how we spend our lives. And these are average numbers in the United States. In the average week, we sleep 52 hours. That's a little bit more than 7 hours a day. In average, we work, those that are still working, we work and travel to work encompasses 56 hours of our week. 52 hours of sleep, 56 hours working or driving to work. We spend, we spend, on average, Americans spend 51 hours a week on their devices. And that includes iPads, your computers, and your phones. On average. That means some of you more, some of you probably less. We spend, and this is reduced because of these, this number has actually declined tremendously. We spend 21 hours watching TV a week. That's average 3 hours a day, 7 days a week. But only 56, we spend 8 hours per week eating. I actually am probably above average, as you can see. But here's the startling numbers. Out of 56%, only 56% of Americans that volunteer to help in any way with any cause, the average American only spends 2 to 3 hours per week. Only 56% of Americans even volunteer. And of those 56%, only 2 to 3 hours per week is all they invest in helping somebody else. Wow. So are we investing into the lives of other people? You see, our life is like a penny. We can spend it however we want, but you and I only get to spend it once. If we waste it away, it's gone. But if we invest it, it brings us return. Are we investing in the lives of other people? Here's another interesting statistic that I found. Only 55% of Americans acknowledge that they pray at all. 55% of Americans acknowledge they pray. Of that 55% of Americans that acknowledge that they pray, their average cumulative time of prayer in the course of a week is 2 hours. Now, you divide 2 hours, which is 120, right, by 7 days. Well, you do the math. You do the math. Are we investing our lives in the other people? Are we investing our lives in the things of God? Are we investing our life in kingdom purpose? Only 21% of Americans attend church. So if you're ever worried about being weird, you're weird just because you're here this morning. Because you only fall into 21% of American people. Of the 21% of Americans that attend church, they attend church typically less than 2 hours a week. So 21%, those weird people that still attend church, they only give less than 2 hours a week to coming together with the believers to worship. Now, when you put that in comparison to the 51 hours that we spend on our devices, how are we spending our penny? When you put that in comparison to a lot of the other things, and some of those things, I realize working is a necessity of life. At least to some people it is. But I realize that there's things in life that are a necessity in life. But when you consider how much time we invest in kingdom purpose, and my good old Southern Baptist mentor that I had, James Bilbrey, passed away this February will be, I think, 3 years ago. And one of the things that he said, you will never be able to serve God without serving other people. Unless you are touching the lives of other people, you are really not serving God. You see, we're here this morning to worship. We're here this morning to be discipled. We're not here serving God. When we serve God, we serve God when we're touching the lives of other people. And most of the time, that is going to occur outside the four walls of this room and even the hallways and the adjacent rooms of this complex. That is where we really serve the Lord. It's when we impact the lives of other people. The other day, Sarah and I were listening to a song, and And that song was, it was okay. It was okay. And I shouldn't be critical of a person's song, I don't guess. But that song was about, I'm going to church for this and I'm going to church. And listen, understand me. I'm an advocate of going to church. I'm a churchman. I believe in the institution of the church. I believe in the assembly of the body. But if the basis of our Christianity is just going to church, we are doing no more than looking for holy entertainment. But kingdom service occurs when we are taking our life that is like the penny and we are investing it in the lives of other people. And we are investing it in prayer. And we are investing it in studying the scripture that we may impart it into the lives of other people. Life is like a penny. We can only spend it one time. And when we spend it, it's gone. It's gone. When you realize that we have only one opportunity, we've had only one opportunity at 2024. It's almost gone. 2024 will never come again. We've only had one opportunity at this month, December, when it's gone. It's never going to come again. We've only had one opportunity at this week, and when it's gone, this day, when it's gone, it will never be brought back again. Some of you all might think that got you a hot rod car and you can go back to the future. What was that guy's name? Willie? Was that his name? Something like that. But let me tell you, that only exists in Hollywood. You're never going to be able to do that. Well, all that you and I have is the moment that we're living in right now. And what we do with the moment we're living in right now is what's going to matter the most. So life is like a penny. You can spend it any way you want to, but you only get to spend it one time. So I'm suggesting rather than just spending your penny, invest your penny. Invest your life. You see, things that are just simply spent won't return to you, but investments will come back. Listen, in God's plan of economy, and I'm not preaching about money here, but in God's plan of economy, you can never outgive God. You will never give more out for the kingdom of God that He will not bless you back with. You will never go bankrupt investing in kingdom purpose. You will never go bankrupt investing in the lives of other people. You will never go wrong investing in prayer. You will never go wrong in investing in studying the scripture. You will never go wrong by investing your life into the kingdom of God. So when we give attention to prayer and to worship and to church family and into helping others, all of that is good and in its place as long as we're investing. We hear so much about investments in this day and time, but earthly investment doesn't compare to the heavenly investment. In fact, Jesus described it like this. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, He said, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal them." But He says, store up treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Listen, we only have one penny. Once it's spent, we can't get it back. But when we invest it, when we prioritize and we invest this life in what God has given us, God will return it to us twofold, threefold, fourfold. God will bless us immensely. So let's take a glance over our shoulder real quickly. John, if you want to come back and just play something real soft for me, sir. Take a glance over your shoulders. Those of you in the room that are under 25 or actually under 30 years of age, again, I apologize to you. But I want you to think, if you can't think about 25 years, think about 10 years. Think about the last 5 years. But for those of us that can, 25 years have come and gone. And the new millennium is really not so new anymore, is it? I was working youth camp. Whitney, you understand this very much. So I was working youth camp a couple of years ago, and there was a little young man. I was working the top of the climbing tower, and you know, sometimes we get backed up off the zip line and you have to occupy. There's nothing like occupying an 8-year-old 40 feet in the air. Okay. So we're on top of the climbing tower. I have this little boy here, and I ask him what his name is, and he tells me his name. I recognize the last name, and I said, who's your dad? And he's telling me who his dad is, and I said, I think I know your dad. I said, I think your dad camped with us back many years ago, and I said, how old is your dad? He said, I don't know. I said, so you're not sure how old your dad is? He said, no. He said, I just know he was born way back in the 1900s. And for those of you that were born in 1999 and earlier, I want you to let that soak in. Born way back in the 1900s. Wow. 25 years have come, 25 years is gone. For those of us, you fall into my age, even though I know I don't look like it. We realize, common sense tells us that more than likely a third of my life, maybe more than that because I don't know. But even if nothing occurs, Jesus doesn't come back, no accidents, no health issues, I fully realize that probably 2/3 of my life are behind. They are behind. It's gone. Some of you in this room is older than me, and you realize, you know that the majority of your life is gone. And I don't mean to be morbid or depressing. But for those of you that are younger than this room, only time's going to tell in reality what portion of life that you've been given at this point. So we don't know the number of days, only God knows that. But one thing I am certain of, and I've been hearing this all of my Christian life and a little bit beyond, that Jesus is coming soon. We used to sing those songs. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. I believe he's coming back like he said. I still believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I still believe on a day and an hour when we think not that the trumpet of God is going to sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain will meet with him together in the air. I still believe in the return of Jesus Christ. And despite a lot of popular belief, I don't believe I have to have somebody interpret to me, this has got to happen and that's got to happen. This has done happen. The red calf's been revealed and this has been done and the Ark of the Covenant is here. Listen, I don't believe that I have to pay attention to all of those things. All I have to do is read the Word of God that says Jesus is coming back, and I put my faith and my confidence and my trust in the Word of God because it's unfailing, it's without error, and I believe Jesus is coming soon. That same Jesus that I heard was coming soon 25 years ago, he's still coming soon. But until he returns, there will be more that will make their way through the valley of the shadow of death. But one thing's for sure, we all are going to leave this world someday, one way or the other. But my question is, what have we done with our lives? Our lives are just like that penny that you were given. By the way, you can pull it off and use it if you so choose. It's just that little rubbery stuff. My little wife glued all those pennies on those cards yesterday while I took down the Christmas tree. Bless her heart. But life is like your life, my life is like that penny. We can spend it however we want, but we only get to spend it one time. One time. No do-overs, no makeovers. One time is how we get to spend it. So I think it probably would behoove us to invest wisely. Years ago, some of you all may remember him, others not. He was probably more prominent on our side of the mountain back in the when we had the old Virginia Conference as the Pentecostal Holiness Church. Great friend of mine. I treasure him greatly. I treasure his memory. He's an evangelist that was our conference evangelist for many years. His name was Jim Hilliard. Jim Hilliard was known to recite a portion of C.T. Studd's poem so all so frequently. The part that says, "There's only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last and last." Now if you knew Jim Hilliard, he would have been grinning. He had a grin about this wide, and he had a similar haircut to mine, but he was a much taller, bigger man. But Jim, he would read that, "Only one life will soon be passed, and only those things done for Christ will last and last." And then he would go, "Amen. Amen." C.T. Studd was on to something. C.T. Studd knew something. And I hope today that I've conveyed it to you and you understand that our lives are like a penny. We can spend it however we want, but we only get to spend it one time. Are we investing our lives as we come to the end of this year and say, "Man, Pastor, I have failed miserably in my investment"? Maybe so. I'm a fan of Dave Ramsey in Financial Peace University. And in the financial aspect, Dave Ramsey says, it's never too late to start investing. Well, let me tell you, that may be good on the financial side, but it's also good on the spiritual side. It's never too late. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many times you have failed. I don't care how many times you have relinquished your responsibilities as a believer and not invested in the lives of other people, not invested in the kingdom of God. I want you to know you can start today. You can start today. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Your life, my life. Our lives are like a penny. We can spend it any way we want to, but we only get to spend it one time. How we spend it is going to determine the return on our investment. So today, as we are drawing close to the end of 2024, 25 years I'm preaching the same message of sorts that I was preaching 25 years ago. And that message is Jesus is coming soon. But with heads bowed and eyes closed in this room, I want to ask you a question. Is there one person in this room says, "Pastor, I realize I need to give my heart and my life over to Jesus"? Without any embarrassment, would you slip up your hand? "Pastor, I recognize I need to get saved. I need to give my life to Jesus." One person. Even one. Is there one in this room that would say, "Pastor, I realize I've been haphazard. And I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. I need to renew my commitment with Him. Is there one person that will slip up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me? Thank you. Is there any others? Thank you. There's several in this room. Raise your hand. Well, this is what I want us to do. I want you to look this way. I want as many as can and will. I like the close proximity of the altar. If you're not comfortable in doing that, I respect your preferences. But I want as many people in this room this morning as can and will. I want you to come down here and I want you to join me around this front area and we're going to pray. Especially you that raised your hand. It's an excellent season, an excellent time. Listen, there's people that are making New Year's resolutions already. People have got lists written out. I don't want you to make a New Year's resolution. I want you to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Lord, Lord, I renew my commitment to you. Don't make a resolution that you're just going to break. But say, Lord, I recommit my life to you today. Several raise your hand in this room today. God, I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to give myself to you. As we come together at the front of this room for prayer, I just want you to lay your hand over on another person's shoulder and begin to pray with them. As we pray with one another, let's pray that we will have the dedication. And those of you that raise your hand, you know who you are. We're just believing, God, you're just want to do more in our lives in this upcoming 2025. If you tarry your coming just a few more days, Lord, I want you to move in my life. Lord, as I pray, Lord, for our church family, God, we're just believing that today, Lord, we're going to do more with the life that you've given us than we ever have before. Lord, we're going to be more about your business. We're going to be more about your kingdom. Lord, we are going to purpose ourselves, Lord, in following you. Lord, we are going to serve, Lord, in our families and in our communities, God. Lord, we're going to allow you, Lord God, to manifest yourself in our lives. God, it's going to be less about us. And Lord, it's going to be more about you today. But not just today. But Lord, as we go on into this new year, God, we, Lord, are going to, Lord, be investing in the lives of other people. We're going to be investing into the lives, Lord, of those, Lord God, who are outside of the fold, those who don't know you, Lord God, those who are hurting, those, Lord God, who are injured, those, Lord, who are dealing with corruption in their lives, Lord God, those, Lord, who are struggling, Lord, you are going to minister, and Lord, you're working, Lord, through us, Lord God. Lord, we are the light of Christ, Lord. We recognize this morning that we're not to be hid under a bushel, but Lord, we are the cities that set on the hill, Lord God. Lord, we are illuminating, Lord, into our families and those that are gathered around us. God, we are the salt of the earth, Lord God. Lord, you are the light of the world, but you shine through us. You illuminate the world, Lord, through us, God. Let your light shine, Lord Jesus, through us. Lord, don't let us, Lord, be dim. But God, let us be brightly. Don't let us, Lord, hinder, Lord, your radiant beauty going into all of the world. But God, this morning, as we recommit and we rededicate our life to you, Lord, let us invest this life that you've given us. Let us invest it wisely. Lord, don't let us be frivolous with the gift of life that you've given us. But Lord, let us live out every day, every waking moment, Lord, every hour. Lord, let us live it out for the glory of God. May you gain glory out of my life. May you gain glory out of my presence here on earth. May I be a difference maker. May I be a life changer. May I invest in the kingdom of God. Lord, I do so this day by rededicating, recommitting myself to you. Jesus, I realize I only get one chance at this. I only have one life. It will soon be passed. But God, let me do things for Christ. That's going to last and last. God, let my heavenly inheritance be great. Or let faithful be found over my life. For Lord, we don't know when you will call. We don't know when you will come. But Lord, let us be found faithful. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we bless you. We worship you. We worship you. Mashonda, I want all of your family to come up here. Mashonda, many of you know she lost her mom on Christmas Eve. I just want to pray for all of their family. Let's pray for all of their family. They're facing the service tomorrow, celebration of life with her mom. We're just believing that God is just going to be with every single one of you guys. Every single one of you guys. Okay? You're never alone if you look to the Lord. Church family, you reach your hands this way. Father, as we pray, Lord, God, I just pray for this family to be comforted, Lord. Lord, we know their mom had a great testimony of faith, Lord God. She loved you and she loved the kingdom of God. Lord, we know that she loved her family. And today, Lord, as we just pray over them, Lord, we just believe, Lord, that you're bringing them encouragement. Lord, you're ministering to their needs, Lord, as only you can do. God, they'll realize, Lord, that, Lord, the valley of the shadow of death was just a temporary circumstance for our sister as she journeyed, Lord, there was an ending to that valley. Lord, and to be in your presence, Lord. What great joy, what great comfort, Lord, to comfort this family, bless their hearts, minister to their needs, and Lord, give them, Lord, the strength they need in this hour. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody else need special prayer this morning? Before we need special prayer for sickness in body or any other needs. Okay. If not, you can go ahead and return back to your seats. Just remember, you're a penny. Because you're a penny, you can spend any way you want to, but you only get to spend it once. Amen.